Drew Edwards from the Hamilton Spectator joins us. Drew, how is Mr. Austin right now? Is he a little calmer in preseason than he is in the regular season?
Really depends on what your definition of entertaining is, though, right? I mean, whether if you enjoy the suffering of others, then maybe it is.
Good point.
Press conference, yeah.
It's a good point. The suffering of others. I like that.
Yeah,
that's it's like a reality show.
The suffering of beat reporters in particular, actually. But listen, Austin is generally better during the preseason when the games don't count. However, lately has not been in a particularly good mood, to be completely honest. And that's because prominent Ticats are dropping like flies during training camp. So that's put him on edge a little bit, frankly. Luke Sasker, their leading receiver, was injured on Sunday in a training camp practice. No word on when he's going to be ready. They're already missing C.J. Gable and Moses Madu, who are their starting running backs from last year. They've got two starting offensive tackles who are down. Those kind of things have a tendency to make a coach upset no matter what the time of year. So, no, I wouldn't say that Kent is in a particularly cheery mood these days.
And also, Brian Buckle, done for the year, right?
That's right. Yeah, Brian Bulkey, that's another good one. Brian Bulkey, done for the year with a torn knee ligament. And that's after Lyndon Gadosh tore his Achilles in the preseason. And Spencer Watt, who was a prominent free agent signing, tore his Achilles in the offseason as well. So, yeah, it's been I have a lot of people asking me, are the Ticats doing something to cause all these injuries? The short answer to that is no. I don't think the Ticats do anything different than any other CFL team. I think that these things have a tendency to go in little streaks and little runs, and the Ticats are, enjoying a particularly bad run of it right now. But I don't think they do anything unusual that other teams do. And in fact, I actually think Austin, being a former player, is more in tune with what players go through physically during training camp and cuts back on the amount of contact and the amount of padded practices that other teams do. I know that when George Cortez was here, for example, it was two-a-days all the time, and there were tons of contact. So I don't think the Ticats are doing anything to cause this. I just think it's bad luck, to be honest.
What are they going to do at the running back position?
Well, they still have Nick Grigsby, who obviously played well for them down the stretch last year and finished the season basically as their number one guy. They like Gable better because I think Gable does a bit more out of the backfield in terms of catching the football, and he's amazing in pass protection. Grigsby does those things but doesn't do them as well as Gable. He might be a better runner, though, frankly. So I think they prefer to have Gable, but Grigsby's an excellent option. And they also have a kid named Ray Hawley who has been taking some reps as well. Hawley's a great story, actually. He's been out of football for about a year and a half, was fixing air conditioners in California, had a master's degree in counseling, but didn't want to start on a professional career until he was absolutely 100% convinced that his football career was over, had been out of the game about 18 months, went to a Ticat tryout in Los Angeles, paid his $80, and basically earned himself a training camp invite. And the Ticats were sort of humming and hawing about whether to even bring a fourth running back because they already had Gable, and they already had Madu, and they already had Grigsby, but decided sort of at the last minute they were going to bring a fourth guy in. Well, now Hawley's probably in the mix to make the active roster just because of the way injuries have gone. So, I mean, that's, for every player that goes down from injury, there's another guy behind him who's been waiting for an opportunity, and this is sort of Ray Hawley's.
Running backs, some people used to are a dime a dozen, but the reality is there's very few guys that come into the CFL. We could go through the list of the last 10 years of how many import running backs have been here and how many of them were unsuccessful. Like, the successful ones are the rarities.
Yeah, I think, people say, well, running backs are dime a dozen. And I think that what that means is that it's no longer necessary to pay a running back $5 million a year or to even in the CFL, you don't see import running backs getting huge contracts the way their quarterbacks or even, in some cases, receivers do. And that's been the trend in the NFL as well, right? You see teams not spending money on free agents backs and drafting guys lower because they feel they can develop a guy to become a number one running back or share the load amongst several players. And I think that philosophy has sort of made its way into the CFL as well. That being said, it doesn't mean that you can just pull a guy off the street and into your offense and he's going to know exactly where to go and what the protections are and what the calls are and you know what the terminology is. It's not that straightforward. I mean, you need to find guys who fit what you do, and then you know mixing with the other players and can learn the offense and all the rest of it. So yes, it shouldn't be that hard to find a quality running back, but it isn't as simple as, well, you know, hey, you played some college ball, go ahead, line up.
How has the quarterbacks looked?
Well, Zach Claros is going to be the number one guy. He's looked much more comfortable in this training camp than he did last year. We were trying to sort of digest the new offense because he came over as a free agent from Toronto. But, you know, with a year under his belt, I think he feels much more comfortable in terms of what he has to do, you know, from play to play. I think he stopped thinking about what his responsibilities are, and now he can just go ahead and play. The question's really been what's going to happen behind him, and I think that situation is starting to clarify itself a little bit. Jeff Matthews, who played for Kent Austin and offensive coordinator Tommy Condell at Cornell for 3 years, he's come in as a rookie and has looked really, really good, and I think that he's got the inside track for the backup job. He played well in the first preseason game, and he's been getting more reps this week in practice. The number three job now, Corey Harris is there. He's a guy that's been with the team a year out of the University of Miami. The guy that seems to be sliding down the depth chart a little bit is Jeremiah Mazzoli, former Edmonton Eskimos product, who, you know, just doesn't seem to have been able to take advantage of the opportunity that he had last year, and now I think has been supplanted a little bit by Matthews. I'm not quite sure exactly what the future holds for Mr. Mazzoli and Hamilton, to be completely honest.
Drew Edwards joins us. Well, Drew, when he was here, he couldn't pass consistently. He's a great scrambler, but he just could never pass consistently.
Yeah, I think the issue with Mazzoli is the fact that accuracy is a huge problem. And for Austin, the two things that he really likes in his quarterbacks are, A, good decision-making, and B, accuracy. And those are the two things that Mazzoli seems to struggle with a little bit. He plays a very swashbuckling style where he relies on his athleticism. He gets out of the pocket, things break down, and he's able to sort of make plays. And that was what made him successful at the University of Oregon and a couple other places. And I think that that's what he was expecting to make him successful at the pro level. The problem is that sort of improvisational style, easy enough for me to say, doesn't necessarily translate as well in a professional game where, you know, you do have to make good decisions on a regular basis. You do have to be accurate, especially in the CFL, where if you can't complete 55, 60, 65, 70% of your passes like Ricky Ray does, it's hard to move the football, right? It's hard to put together 10, 12 play drives. And in a league where you've only got three downs, accuracy and decision-making, I think, take on even more importance. And Mazzoli just hasn't been able to demonstrate it.
Most people still see Hamilton as the favorite in the East. Do you?
I do, frankly, only because they have less questions than everybody else, right? I think if you look at the Montreal West, there's questions about whether Jonathan Crompton is a legit number one. If you look at the Argos, they put Ricky Ray on the six-game injury list today. There's questions about when he'll be ready. If you look at Ottawa, you know, they should be better, but they certainly haven't looked much better the first couple of weeks of the preseason. That's a team that spent a bunch of money on some marquee guys, but you know wasn't able to demonstrate that in the preseason. Are they significantly better, or do they have issues beyond sort of you know buying a bunch of free agents to play wide receiver for them? So I think there's some questions there as well. Henry Burris is 40, man, and as a guy who's already turned 40, you know your body lets you know. Now listen. Henry Burris is in much better shape than I am. He doesn't quite have the same dad bod that I have embraced, but you know, you do have to wonder if a guy like Burris, who has relied on his superior athleticism and his arm strength to get him through a great career, whether as he gets older and those athletic gifts begin to wane a little bit, whether he can continue to play at the high level.
Well, I think Hamilton, with the announcement with Ricky Ray done for at least 6 weeks, yeah, that opens it up even more. Montreal's got some. I think Montreal is probably going to be the only team that can give him any sort of run this season in the Eastern Conference. And I guess once the Tiger Cats get healthy, you know, we could see Ken Austin back in the Grey Cup once again. Drew, always good to catch up with you, man. We'll keep reading your stuff at Three Down Nation as well as the Hamilton Spectator.
Thanks, Jeff. Okay, thanks, guys. Take it easy.